Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Feather Tap Ender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft, the world's greatest wrestling podcast. I want to tell you before we start, Grado in the room. There he is, sitting there. Look at him. He's fixing his hair. You're looking well, my man. You're looking well.
Thank you, mate. You're looking good yourself, man.
You're always looking well post-pantomime. You're always looking good.
Well, I finished 2 weeks and I get down to about 16 stone four. But I'm climbing it back up, my boy. Tonight I had...
Are you looking good because of the weight you've shifted or because of the fucking money you've brought in all this past?
Any money this year has gone to fucking weddings, man.
Aye.
By the way...
That's going to be a good day, innit? That's going to be a good day. Have you been asked to be the best man yet, John?
I've not actually. Who is your best man? Your brother?
My brother, aye.
Aye.
My brother.
How many podcasts have you done with him?
You should be coming if he's about to come. He's about to come, my man.
I thought we'd be... Hold on.
I'm just assuming I'm coming.
You asked me ages ago and you said, oh, you'll definitely be coming to the wedding. But this is an angle so you can get George Bowie at your wedding. Has this been the angle?
I knew you would think that. I knew.
Because you said, oh, you'll definitely be invited to the wedding, John. Or could you ask George Bowie to DJ at it? Now, I'm starting to think I'm not getting an invite to the wedding.
Are you going to get and this has been an angle. DJ?
What's that?
Is George Bowie going to DJ it?
Yes, he is, apparently.
Has he got a date?
I think he is, aye.
That'll be amazing, coming Grado. And remember, Grado, also, I know, you know, the situation with numbers and all that kind of stuff. Night is fine for us, don't worry about it.
But here, Rab, but do you remember when you got married during lockdown and I got the invite and I didn't know it was a Zoom link and I was... I was telling Stephanie to buy a frog. I was like, Saturday? We've just had the invite, we have to go, it's on Saturday.
Saturday. There's only 18 people allowed to go and we're two of them.
Did you not know that, John?
I didn't even get the Zoom link for that.
Did you not get the Zoom link, John?
Didn't get the Zoom link. Very disappointing.
I hadn't known you that long at that time, though, had I?
It was only a couple of years at that point, to be fair.
Was it a couple of years?
We'd only done about 100 episodes of the podcast together by that point, but it's all right.
To make it worse, I bought something for you and I've never ever sent it, and that is bad because you're only fucking 3 years married.
Is it booze? Because booze keeps, man. Booze gets
It was something kind of shit.
So one of these wee statues that you get, you know, these wee statues that people get at their wedding, it's like the faceless statue things.
I feel bad now because I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but when I think about it, it was actually quite good. It was a, what do you call it?
A belt.
No, like a...
A double-ended dildo.
In that shape, a double-ended dildo, but you put marriage papers in it.
Oh, I've got one of them.
No, no, is it like a tube you keep your stuff in?
You got one?
No.
Fuck.
Shamer got us a good present, man. He got us a really nice...
What did he get you?
He got us like a keepsake kind of thing to put stuff in as well.
Ah, Shamer's a nice guy, man.
Did Shamer
get Shamer was at the Rumble?
Yes, so he was.
But, mate,
are we talking about Shamer was at the Rumble?
Hey, Shamer was at the Royal Rumble.
What, he was in it? I didn't see him.
No. He wasn't in it. He went with Ryan. He went with his boy. They went there. Drew got him tidy tickets. He was hanging about with all the wrestlers. He was talking about Rangers to Lex Luger.
Oh, no way.
Shamer messaged me last week and he said, do you want to come on the podcast and I'll talk about the Rumble? And I forgot to message him back.
We're going to be doing a lot of talking about the Rumble tonight for sure. Now, let me tell you something, boys. I've watched the pay-per-view now.
Hold on. No, wait there. No, this isn't right, because you were in America the weekend. You need to tell us about it.
Right, I need to tell you about it.
Because when I saw the video yesterday, I thought any time I've stayed in New York, right, the deal is you stay in practically a fucking cupboard, because it's where you're going, you're just resting your head. You're in basically a room. You climb over homeless people in the lobbies to get to your room because you don't give a fuck what hotel that you book. Rab, what the damn was that you were staying in, mate? Looking right onto Times Square. What was it, 42nd Street, 43rd Street your hotel was on?
I was right, 7th Avenue. It wasn't quite 42nd, I don't think. It was right on Times Square. There's a guy I know that runs the hotel. Guy who owns the hotel. I'm a big, always really loved the guy and had a really good relationship with him, and really, you know, believe in all the stuff he talks about. A guy called Donald Trump. And he, all my life I've wanted to, if I go to New York, I says, I want that experience. I look out the big window and you see the city in front of you. So it was like, for me, it was like, I'm going to stay somewhere that's, you know, we're only there for a weekend. I'm going to stay somewhere kind of special, you know what I mean? And it was amazing. It was like being in a film. It didn't feel real. It felt real.
And what was your flights?
My flights were on the way there, Heathrow, then Heathrow JFK. Oh,
wow. British Airways?
British Airways down to Heathrow, and then it was
747?
Delta all the way to, which was amazing. That big plane, see that big American Delta plane, Delta Airlines plane out of America, man. I was like, this is the fucking life, man. The food was cracking. I was watching films, I was comfy. It was brilliant. I've always been a wee bit of a kind of nervous flyer. I'm sure I've said before, like, it's not my favourite thing in the world, but all four of the flights, even the ones back was through Iceland, through Reykjavik. And even they were great. We got really lucky with the flights and all that. And I mean, smooth as you like. America was amazing. On the Friday night, I'll give you a quick New York rundown. On the Friday night, we go there. We just went out to wander about Times Square. There was all sorts of stuff going on. There was protests happening. There was NYPD motorbikes all dashing about. We went and got some pizza. We wanted to buy a slice at a pizza place. We bought a slice at one place. We bought a slice at another place. We're just walking about. We're knackered as well because we're flying. So we did a bit of walking about, doing that, went back to our hotel room. It was all good. Saturday morning, got up super early. Went straight up to Central Park. So it's only like, for Times Square, it's only like a 10 minutes walk or something.
That's right.
Up to Central Park. That was mind blowing as well, because you're walking up and it's just, as you know, Grado, it's just like an urban jungle, man. It's just buildings everywhere. And then the next thing, it's just a wall of trees.
Wow.
And then you're in a giant park, man. And it was the high point for me, Central Park, apart from the basketball. So we did Central Park. We came back. We had a really nice lunch in our hotel. We actually went back to our room for a wee bit, had a bath, took it easy, chilled out for a wee bit.
Come on.
Had a bit of time in the hotel room. Then out we went. On to Times Square, down to 42nd Street, go to the subway to Brooklyn, came out, Brooklyn, walked out to the Barclays Center, walked in. The atmosphere was amazing. DJs all playing their stuff and all that. The New York people, I thought, were fucking amazing. Every New Yorker I met was beautiful. And then we went up and we had a double vodka soda off a guy. And the New York guy was like, realized we were Scottish, and was like, you know, you can take your drinks right inside here, buddy. You can take them right in. You know what I mean? It was like, these are Scottish people. These are people who only trusted to be adults in their own country. They can enjoy themselves here. I watched the guy pouring double vodka. And it was like pouring the vodka into the measure, and then he just kept pouring. And then it was like he was still pouring. And then he took the second measure, and then he was pouring into it. And then he overflowed and kept pouring. And I was like, oh my God, these vodkas are ridiculous. No, the vodkas were, let me think, $69 for two double vodkas.
Jesus Christ!
In the Barclays Center, right? And they were in like big pint thingies. But this was like drinking a pint of vodka. This is what it tasted like. It tasted like drinking a pint of vodka. We're up, we get into our seats. We're sitting beside a couple of Knicks fans on one side. One guy who used to be a player back in the day. There was Knicks fans behind us as well. So it's like, you know, it's not like going to an old firm game where you're, you know what I mean, sitting with your own
sectarianism
and all
that. It's not the same.
None of that. The atmosphere was amazing. You know, the national anthem gets sung and all that at the start, and then just at a pause in the national anthem, was a kids' choir singing it, and a pause in the national anthem, a Knicks fan shouted, "Go Knicks!" And it was boo! It was brilliant, man. It was a good atmosphere. Then it all started, and then it was just, man, It was dynamite. I was steaming. The vodka was super strong. We went to get drinks at half time, right? And we go up to the bar and we're like, all right, let's get another couple of these $69 vodkas. And Jen asks for the drinks and the drinks get served, right? And the guy looks at me, right? And he goes,
ID.
You got 220s? And I was like, aye. And then there was just nothing. There was just silence. Buddy, have you got 220s? And Jen was like, what for? What for? And I was like, well, I've got 220s. Okay. He was like, Jesus. And he's turned around and he's looking at our guy. And a guy behind me leaned and looked into my face like, what the fuck is up with you? And I'm like, I was like, what is this guy talking about? If I get two, standing there on my curb to pay. He's like, have you got 220 bills? I had no fucking idea what the guy was talking about. He says, buddy, have you got 220 bills? Put them there. Just put them there.
Mate, this is funny. Keep talking. I can't believe this.
Put them there. And I'm like, and I'm looking, I'm going like, what for? And by this time, everybody in the queue is like, and we're steaming as well, and everybody in the queue is like fucking looking at us. The other guy behind the bar is kind of looking there going, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And then I just pulled the 220s out, and I was like, and he was like, put them there to me. And I was like, right, and I just put them down and walked away with my drinks. And I was like, I just didn't process, John. I didn't process that the guy was going, I'm not charging you the $70. I'm asking you for 220s that will be gone in my fucking pocket.
Really?
Take your drinks and go.
This is obviously
a thing that happens.
A hustle.
Everybody else in the queue was looking at me like, you're a fucking idiot. Put the 220s.
She's a bum.
Take your drinks.
I tried to get Stephanie to come in here, right? You'll never believe this.
Right.
I went to Peter Kay at the O2.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Saturday, but the Saturday before, right? And we ordered two double Jack Daniels and Diet Coke, and she got two double vodkas. And like you say, it was like 70 bar, right? I've got the card. The guy takes the cup and sits it there, and he goes, 20, right? And fucking I went like that and put the £20 in the cup. And fucking got it for £20. Stephanie, can you please tell that story about the podcast about how we went to Peter Kay? She's just about telling me to fuck off. I'm raging with her.
But Gredo,
I can't believe that happened.
You at least understood what was going on.
Mm.
You understood what was happening. I had no fucking idea. Neither me nor Jen had any idea what was fucking going on.
No, I was like, do you know what it felt like? I was like, this guy's only night on this job, and he's just fucking, he's going to make a packet tonight. That's what I thought.
Oh, man. Aye.
He was like, when he cared. He's like, get rid of the cared. But he still think we did through, but when, and he just sat the cup, and we put the £20 in, and then at half time, I went again and got it again. Fucking tremendous.
Well done. Unbelievable.
My buddy this week is for Stephanie. I wanted her to just... In case you didn't believe me, but
the basketball. If you're ever going to New York, even if you're not into basketball, right? If you're ever going to New York, you go to a basketball game. You know what I mean? Jenny done a brilliant job. She got me as a Christmas present, and it being a Nets and Knicks game. So you had everybody from New York all in it. You know what I mean? It was just the atmosphere was unbelievable. The Nets played brilliant, man. They were dominating all night. Can't remember how I got out of Brooklyn. Can't remember getting back to Manhattan. However. This is where we come back to Wrestling Daft. Sorry, folks.
No, I love that. I love this shit.
The plan always was, Gredo, that we go and we watch the Brooklyn Nets, right? And then we go back to Manhattan and I had scoped out a couple of bars that were going to be showing the pay-per-view, right?
Mm.
To catch the end of the show, because I thought the end of the show would be the Men's Royal Rumble, right?
Okay.
So this is, we'll catch the end of the show to see the Men's Royal Rumble. I don't remember leaving Brooklyn, really. I know we went on the subway because I've got a video of Jane taking a 40 for people. People are posing on the subway and she's taking a 40. And then, didn't they watch any wrestling, mate? Loads of videos on my phone of me and Jane in this drag bar.
Brilliant.
We're like, guys all dancing up on the bar and all that, and Jane's dancing and I'm dancing. There's like drag artists all fucking dancing about and singing and all that, and we're sticking money in there.
I was
meant to be watching the wrestling.
That sounds like one of the best days ever.
That was great.
Up in New York, as you say, going to be scoot about and then going to the basketball and then doing that at night, it must have been shit.
Amazing.
But what about the Rumble doing that anyway, man? What is that about putting that on first? How did you cover for that? I thought, I'd have been raped to my bed.
But we'll get into it later, but the way the Rumble concluded with the Bloodline stuff, they couldn't have put anywhere else in the show because it would
I don't really know about that. I just like the Rumble.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've got something else to tell you. I watched the pay-per-view when I came home, right? I did not watch that Bray Wyatt match.
People are waiting for it. People have been asking all week. They're waiting for this moment for you to go through Bray Wyatt, and you didn't see it.
I did not watch that Bray Wyatt match because I thought to myself, maybe this is something we could do next week. I thought to myself, I want to watch this with the boys.
Well, I watched Summit because obviously my boy Eli was in it, who is a fucking star and the best thing on the telly, but I kind of tapped to it a couple minutes.
Why don't we watch it together next week? Because I feel like I need a bit of moral support watching this. I want to save it because I'd already seen people saying, oh, Bray Wyatt match was fucking rotten. So I just couldn't do it on my end. I want to watch it be used.
Right, okay.
All right.
Yeah. We're promoting this live show.
Let's promote the live show. So we are doing Wrestling Daft Live, Grado. John, tell them about it.
Right, well, it's happening in Box on Sunday, 26th of February. It's happening in the afternoon before the ICW Square Go. Everyone's saying Jones booked it during the Old Firm Cup final. Right, okay, we didn't know that Rangers and Celtic were going to be in the Cup final. Probably a given that they were. But we've organised it, so we're going to do the wrestling show in two parts. We're going to have the first part, we're going to do Wrestling Daft Live. Then we will show the football. Then we'll have the second part. Then we'll have a Wrestling Daft Disco. And everyone can go to the ICW Square Go after that. So that's the plan. So you're not going to miss the football. In fact, I'll enhance your enjoyment of the football because we will have Rab on one side supporting Celtic. We'll have Grado on the other side supporting Rangers. There might be a bit of a fight. There might be a bit of a battle royal between supporters. Who knows what will happen, but it's all going to be fun. It's going to be a great day out. You can get tickets now. They're going fast. Sold half of them already. And you can get your tickets at the Eventbrite on the links below. And it's going to be a great day. We still don't know what we're doing for the Wrestling Daft Live show. All the stuff in the show, though. All the stuff you really enjoy. All Grado's stories. All Rab's stories.
Grado, why did we let him promote this, right? First of all,
right, he's promoted it. Falkirk fan hang ever. Oh, we'll have lots of fun watching an Old Firm. Doesn't work out like that, John.
No.
It's wrestling
no.
fans, oh, Jesus.
He suggested
Christ.
There's going to be sectarian violence at it, right? That's the first thing he's done, right? He said we haven't planned anything for it, right? There's no plan. We don't know what we're doing. That's what he says as a guy promoting a show. We don't know what we're doing, right? Here's something else he said. He said half the tickets sold. Let me get a clue here, John, right? Even half your tickets have sold. You say fucking three quarters of your tickets have sold.
Right, okay.
See, if none of your tickets have sold, that's when you say half of them have sold.
You cut a promo on it. You give it Dusty. Come on, give it Dusty.
Right, you've got to get down there to see Wrestling Daft Live in Box. Yes, Box, the place where I slept and had some of my greatest dreams in the bathroom of Box. Maybe I'll even take you into the bathroom and show you the stall where I spent the night. That treat could wait for you. Me and Grado are going to be talking. Listen. Live and unleashed, because we need to watch what we're saying on this podcast. Because the Daily Record, people for the Daily Record, people for the Sun listen to it. But we can say whatever we want when you see us live. So get your tickets, book it. Do not have a good day. A wee bit of football on, and we'll be focused on the wrestling. We didn't even chat about the wrestling during the football. That's what I like today. Right, let's see what the punters
can communicate. Can I just cut you off right there? You didn't do what does always sell it, baby. Sell the event, baby. No reference to where you can get your tickets or anything like that, Rab.
Get your tickets, fucking. Where can you get your tickets?
On the link below. You just point like on YouTube and you say on the link below.
On the link below what?
Because in the podcast, people be listening to this on the podcast right now, and all the links for the like the Patreon, all that is in the description, so you can get the link to Wrestling Daft Live in this description of this.
You
podcast.
Mean you can actually listen to a show like on your phone and stuff? Like
aye.
This is a shamble.
Right, so let's see what punters are saying. Let's see what the punters are up. Hey, right, let's talk about Mr. Blobby. By the way, somebody been listening to your fucking show?
I had to DM the promoters of that right away, and I went, I can't lie, man, I'm absolutely gutted that he's managed to get Mr. Blobby. He's been digging my emails. I even emailed him again yesterday. After
is it the real one?
Is it the real one? He says, look, mate, we had to persuade him as well. He goes, we've been trying for years to get him, which I do believe, but it was still killing me that it was gone mega viral. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was on your lad Bibles and all this shite, so I was a bit raging yesterday when I saw him, especially the fact he was taking bumps and then toupees out to the outside. And Christ almighty, man. And he's talking to Tudemaris because of this big old suit that he's selling.
Is it him that's selling it?
Well, it must be, because he's saying that, because surely he's telling everybody don't wear it outside the house, copyrights.
Well,
and he was on this morning with an absolute brand spanker.
Do you know that the guy didn't pay up, he pulled out the bid, so it's up at 62,000 and the bidder at the last moment said, I'm not paying that. So,
which makes me think, is it one of these deals where he's went, right, mate, I think I can, do you think Mr. Blobby said to his pal, Noel Edmonds, mate, gonna bump this up for me and put in a bit of,
maybe.
Keep bumping it, and then it's went too far, and then Noel's no coughed up the money.
Listen, it's well worth the money, I think, actually. It's a bit of telly history there.
Sure is, man. It's been, I mean, you can tell it's well worn, and it is a legit. Somebody's, would you call him, stayed here, would you call the big one, does all the podcasts, Conrad Thompson.
Aye.
See if he lived in Britain, he'd have bought it.
Oh, he would have bought it. And he'd had it on his wall behind him.
Aye, next to the ECW Arena sign.
I've been enjoying listening to Ric Flair's podcast, man. I love Ric Flair sitting there just fucking trashing people and that, man. You can't beat it, man. Can't beat it.
It's one thing I've not listened to. I still listen to Kevin Nash, man. That's good.
Basically, the Ric Flair one is Conrad will tell him about something somebody said about him that week. And then Ric Flair will say, I've got fucking stories, by the way. But I'm merrier a man than to fucking tell the stories. I'll keep the secrets, you know what I mean? But I fucking... So he's got a lot of that going on. I like it, man. Oh, Flair. Kevin Nash's podcast, the best. That's the best wrestling podcast there is. It's the best. Right, so we were asking what people would like to see on the show as we shake the format up, as we come up to the live show. And we get a wee bit of feedback on that, didn't we, John? What were people looking for?
So at the live show, here's some of the suggestions that they would like to see at the live show. Bring back the road story, said Steve, and we could do a Grado road story or a Rab road story at Wrestling Daft Live. Billy at the Scottish Wrestling Network, you were on there the other week there, Grado. I listened to your interview there. He's saying, bring out Bingo Balance. Martin's bit more serious. Stick to a bit of the format, roundup of the week in wrestling, but also pick a single topic for the guys to get right into. Grado's ICW years from start to finish, who he met along the way, best memories, when he knew he made it, etc. Grado telling stories is the best part of the show. Billy says, get Greg Hempel and chat about the Kelvin Brawl. That's not a bad shout. And Callum just says, Blobby. So they want Blobby at the live show. And Mick says, someone should get their cock out and eat an onion.
Well, there you go. I can't, but I don't even talk about the Mr. Blobby thing anymore because
it's annoyed me.
I'm bitter about it. Yeah, Paul flags up that it was 7 years ago this week. Thanks, Paul. 7 years ago this week that this happened at a TNA show in Birmingham.
I got her number right in this phone.
I got phoning Madonna. So was that did he actually have Madonna's number on his phone?
Aye, they were neighbours. Mm. They were neighbours at one point. They were really pally, Billy Corgan and Madonna. That's what we done when the cameras went off at night. It was good. Don't really remember much yet, but anyway, want me to phone Madonna? Do you want me to call Madonna? I got a phone right now. Want me to call Madonna? But going back to that promo they done, I think it was funny because he went, "You want me to call Madonna? You want me to call Madonna?" And then he went, now, just left. Now, and left. It was brilliant. And then I kept going, "Let me stun you. Let me stun you." And he was putting the mic away, going, "You better not fucking physically touch me. I'm not doing anything like that." I was going. "Let me stun you. Let me stun you." And he was going, "You fucking dare. You dare." putting the mic away for his mouth.
Does Billy not take a bump? Billy not take a bump?
He went, "No fucking shit. No way."
Has he would crack like a fucking egg if he took a bump? that big fucking dome of his would crack like an egg. So there's a wee bit of comeback on last week's show. You were chatting about B-Days, apparently. Craig says that a B-Day is the best choice you could ever make for your gaff. Get the attachment off Amazon for like 50 quid. Very easy to install. If you get shite on your horn, you're not going to wipe it off with paper. I didn't know you could just install an attachment for B-Day stuff.
Neither did John. But I wouldn't be buying one at £80. I think I'd want to spend a wee bit more than that. I'd be kind of fear of that.
An attachment?
So I think you can get that you can plumb into your toilet so that when the water and water plumbs through and it can be heat up and it can be used to spray hot air into your pipe. There's loads of things it can do. It can scoot soak into your hole and then one water, and then it has like a Dyson Hoover bit attached to it. It does everything, all the process, just by pressing one button. But I don't think one at 80 bar off Amazon would do that. The one at Cabana Hut and his house was about $800, and that was all singing and all singing and all. That's it.
Do you like a good bidet then, eh?
Mm-hmm. It was tremendous. Because his, you could heat up the you could heat it up and all. You could heat up the full pan.
John, you don't get bidets in Falkirk, do you?
No, I'm just looking on eBay. There's one for £55 BD. So
I'm not using a second hand fucking eBay BD.
No. It's on Amazon, sorry. Hot and cold water spray, £55 for rear or female washing.
Just female?
It gets 4 stars, Grado, 190 ratings.
Half a Meltzer?
No.
Right, also talking about Lex Luger and how he claimed to be a Rangers fan despite his parents coming from Cope Bridge. Tank Shelby has been in touch and said, Cope Bridge boy here and can confirm this place is full of Rangers fans, a minority, sure, but they're extra obnoxious as a result. Just this afternoon, there was a single solitary flute band marching through the town. He also claimed that Luger was leading it with an effigy of the Pope and a torture rack. Thanks again to John, no producer John, but John, who last week got Grado credited with being in the wedding season. He's now updated the page to say he actually appeared in 2 episodes and he wants a cream egg in the post. We're in 2 episodes of that, mate, aye?
I think it was. I've told him that, so if it is, it's fake news. But that was funny that he said cream egg. If anybody watched it, there was a cream egg involved in one of the scenes that was in. But see, by the way, thanks again to that geezer. But see, Shamer was telling me that he went to one of the comic cons at the Rumble and he was talking to Lex Luger about Rangers, and it was like at the end of his signing and the guy carted him out in a wheelchair. Apparently Lex Luger was going, Rangers, Rangers. That's what Shamer said. He says the guy
Shamer's fucking made that up.
He says Luger was getting carted away and he was going, Rangers, Rangers.
I can't tell you how much money I would pay for a video of that, by the way. Lex Luger getting wheeled away in a wheelchair going, Rangers, Rangers. It's fucking surreal. It's so much of this is surreal, boys. Like, just the way... Do you ever do that? Do you ever think... I was thinking about that when I was in New York the weekend and just thinking now when I was a wee guy, you know, and new. I kind of feel like every day the world just seems more mental and kind of surreal and, like, no real. Like, that story you told me there, Grado, is, like, something that just can't exist.
But it's, I know.
You know what I mean?
Aye. That's what I mean. Sure, that's... I was a bit like that when I went to... Did you go and see where John Lennon got assassinated?
In Central, well, no, I didn't go and see where that was, but we walked through Strawberry Fields in Central Park.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's not where he got assassinated in a minute.
No, that's not where he got done in the street, I think.
But there was apartment. I met a guy there when I went to New York and he was wearing a NTL Rangers tap with fucking, and I was like, oh, mate, the Michael Moles tap. And he was like, what? I was like, Rangers, but he didn't have a clue what he was wearing.
All right.
I was just like, I don't know if he maybe go to a charity shop or something. I don't know if he was homeless, but he had no idea what I was talking about. I was like, your tap, that's the Rangers. And he was going, no, I don't know what you mean. That's a cracker, that's the Moles tap.
That's the Moles tap. Right. One confectionery, which I'm just eating, I had a wee jelly baby there. It turns out that just like Rab, John Cena is a big fan of marshmallows.
I ordered our marshmallows. Let's make him pack this order for him. We'll start by making his PB&J marshmallows. They're a chocolate-flavoured marshmallow that we fill with peanut butter and jelly. We then coat them in chocolate and sprinkle peanuts on top. I am still so shocked by this order. We looked up the address and everything matches up. It's absolutely insane. John, I'd love to know if you've bought this for yourself or if someone's bought it as a gift for you. And we're on to packing. So first up, it's your watermelon marshmallows, then the PB&J we just made. We've got a pack of caramel toasted coconut and then lemon meringue, which is one of our most popular. Then toasted coconut and our Halloween marshmallow donuts. Thank you so much for this order, John. We can't believe it. We hope you love your marshmallows.
So,
bad discretion, folks, no?
I know, a bit of discretion. John,
but there's a twist in the tale. There's a twist in the tale, and here comes the twist.
I posted about John Cena ordering our marshmallows, and you wanted proof. So here it is.
The answer to the question, did John Cena buy marshmallows from the Marshmallow Company is, yes, I, John Cena Sr., the dad of John Cena, who lives in West Newbury, Massachusetts, bought marshmallows from the Marshmallow Company for my sweetie, Monice. and I have to say this, I've eaten a lot of marshmallows. These marshmallows are nothing short of fabulous. They're decadent. They're delicious. This PB&J is outstanding. I don't have the lemon meringue, which is awesome. The watermelon, just like watermelon. So, have we answered the TikTok question of the week? Did John Cena buy marshmallows at the Marshmallow Company? Well, of course I did. John Cena Sr., me, I bought marshmallows from the Marshmallow Company. So, I'd like to say this to all of you down there at the Marshmallow Company. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a great day, mate. But right now, you know what I'm thinking? It's time for a marshmallow.
Last week, I posted about...
So is that actually his dad?
You never saw him? He's been on the telly before.
No, I've never...
He's been involved in angles, hasn't he?
His dad's a good promo, man.
His dad's... Yeah. No, his dad gets bookings on indies and all that.
Oh, my God.
I am sure he's brilliant.
Hey, listen, marshmallows are amazing. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Oh, Cradle, you should book John Cena Sr. for the family bash and put the book John Cena. That would be amazing.
Mr. Blobby versus fucking John Cena's dad. But, Who's the marshmallow mascot? I suppose not the wee home pride guy. Remember the wee home pride guy?
Aye. He's a kind of muddy boy. He's a dough.
No, he's a tatty, isn't he?
Home pride boy.
No, I don't know.
Mere wrestling meets football crossover here is Ryan Porteous's signing video for Watford. Let's have a look.
That's what we announced.
Number 22 on his way.
Oh my God, it is the Scottish centre back Brian Party.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an interesting moment.
There you go.
Fair play, man. That's funny. That is, I didn't see that. That's class, actually. You follow me on Instagram, not long.
I love how they've went obviously on to create your own wrestler on like 2K and they've got Jim Ross feeding in Ryan Porteous.
How did they manage to get that?
You must be able to feed a name into 2K.
That guy just maybe did a voice.
No, it didn't. It sounded like it was done.
It sounded like JR.
Yeah.
He could have went on a Cameo and paid JR to just do it.
Oh, that's true. Maybe they did that.
Is he on Cameo, JR?
You know what we should do, by the way? Here's what we should do. We should, using our viewers, right, we should all chip in, right? Mm-hmm. Get all our viewers to chip in using, like, a PayPal thing or something and regularly pay for cameos for the show and get them to say...
Aye, let's do it.
Get them to say crazy stuff. I want to hear an old American wrestler saying something like, what do I prefer? A pan loaf or a plain loaf? Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Right, let's make it happen. I'll have a roll on sausage. Our patron money.
I just found out that the main ingredient in macaroon is tatties, man. Tatties and ice. What the fuck?
That's what I want, man.
Right, I tell you what, for the live show, why don't we take some of the live show and get some of these messages, and we'll see if we get some for the live show.
Let's try and get some for the live show. I want to hear Raven talking about Jimmy Cranky.
I want Lex Luger, if he's on camera, saying Rangers, Rangers, Rangers.
Rangers, Rangers. Oh,
right, we should do that. Take a wee bit of the budget for the live show, right? A wee bit of the money for the live show, and we'll go on Cameo one day, and we'll see who's available.
Let's get
some stuff, man, right?
Let's get Lillian Garcia. She's on here and I'm looking at her just now. Let's get her to come on and talk about how much she misses whatever he's.
You can get Flair. You can get Flair. I don't know how much he is, though. Oh, fuck. Flair's 405 quid.
It's just perfect, man, because she's so kind of refined and all that, isn't it? Beautiful, man.
She still I've got it with every man and she's fucking
all right, okay, that's
I reckon for 200 quid we could have Ricky Steamboat talking about macaroon. 81 quid a steamboat.
Well worth it. Let's move on. Let's move on. Mac Dow says he's howling, sitting in Kilmarnock College just now. They're in work alongside the Prince's Trust programme, and they were talking about inviting Scottish celebrities to the awards show. Grado was shot down instantly. Wait, does he even count as a celebrity? Grado's about as big a celebrity as it. Who was it? The Prince's Trust bastards.
Hey, I'd like to see what jabronis they end up getting to go at their wee awards night.
We'd like to congratulate, before we finish this bit, we'd like to congratulate, we spent the whole show basically on this, but we've not managed to move on. I would like to congratulate Grado on finishing his stint at Scott Squad. Oh, great show. And when Grado joined it, I think it stepped up a massive amount. You look at the... All I've got to say is, look at the view count and some of the videos on the BBC Scotland Facebook and all that has Grado in them. You know what I mean? Right for the get-go. So congratulations, Grado. Great run.
Oh, I mean, it was good.
One great sitcom under your belt. You still win another one.
There you go, mate. You came and it's like going finishing up Burniston, and then, you know, it's a matter of what's next and all that kind of carry on, won't you? By the way, I feel bad for saying I didn't realise it was a Prince's Trust, and I'm going, I'm not finished with these cunts. I didn't mean use cunts. I meant the people that were at the college, and I don't mind that they said that. I feel as if I shouldn't.
You need to clarify. Yeah, we've got to show your face up at Ibrox. Fucking, I need to make sure you're not saying anything like that. Right, I've always considered you two sitcoms Grado as well, so you need to get something else in the go now.
Well, I want to hear
Grado 2 sitcoms, you know what I mean? So you need to get...
I do have a couple of ideas, so I do.
Oh, aye, do you?
Aye. Well, I don't really.
I think people want to see us in a sitcom, mate.
So they are, man.
I think people want to see... I think we proved when we did Games Master, we're gold on telly together.
Well, you need to fuck that Ian Connell off. Oof.
I'll kill him. I'm going to see him on Monday, so I'll shove him into the Clyde.
I think what... Because I was actually talking about you today, mate. I was talking about you in an interview because that programme that was filming, Scotland's Greatest Escape, that starts in 2 weeks' time. And this woman is like, what was your first ever TV role? I says, well, actually, it was a thing called The Sunny, which was 10 years ago this year in September.
You're joking, was it?
That's crazy.
Fucking hell, man.
And I was like, it was my first time on set with Paul McCall and obviously Rab and Ian and Jane McCarry and all that. And I think, I don't know if I've ever actually told that before because it's always just, there's never been a question like that, but it was quite good. I was putting you over big time.
Stevie McCall.
Oh, aye, his brother. Stephen McCall.
I always find it interesting that you mentioned you were in the show with Stevie McCall and Jane McCarry and me, and you don't mention fucking Aisling B, who's like a massive star now.
I did mention her. I went, and this Irish comedian who's totally blew up, and she went Aisling B, and I went, that's her.
Yeah, bye.
That's crazy, that, isn't
it? See that show, by the way. That's the only time I've ever been in a trailer on a set filming something.
Is it really?
Only time ever. We did Burniston, there was no trailers.
Wow, man, you're a show.
Nothing like that. Day in the Scots, no trailers. No trailers, Day in the Scots or anything. You know what I mean? You'll get in fucking trailers Day in Two Doors Down, no doubt. But
we did get trailers apart from when we done COVID. See, when it was COVID, we couldn't get trailers, but what we got was like all hard day 1980 caravans. Like, see the ones you tow in the back of your motor?
Aye, aye.
With all like floral seats and all that kind of carry on, and we had that.
Now, that was the one and only time I've ever been in a trailer, man. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that, of just random wrestling related stuff, get in touch with us and let us know if you've ever been in a trailer on a film set before. Get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week, we like to separate the Uncle Howdies for the Uncle Bucks. Amazing. I'm assuming the Uncle Howdy bit was shite for this. As we bury and put over stuff from the world of wrestling, David wants to put over Sami Zayn turning on Reigns and Gunther's performance in the Rumble and wants to bury that shambolic pitch black match. Right. Can I just stop there for a second, lads? Gunther was good in the Rumble, wasn't he?
He was very good.
But see the WWE, you know what I noticed? They didn't mention during the show that, like, did they mention that was the record-breaking time in the Rumble?
I don't know if they mentioned it on comms. It was afterwards that I saw the kind of chat.
Aye, but it wasn't even official WWE, and I was like, they're keeping very quiet about that. I could be wrong, but it was all
that right, boy, though. I don't remember it.
That fella, though, he was great in the Rumble, I thought, all throughout. But I thought he was really in his own head about the elimination. Do you know what I mean? You could really see that he was flinging his cell over. You could see he was overthinking it, I think. You know what I mean? I think there was a wee moment there where it just felt... I just felt a wee bit when it came to the elimination. It looked like nerves had maybe hit him a wee bit in that moment.
Do you know what? I don't know if I agree with that, right? Because, see, but everybody's different, right? And there's a big difference between starting a Royal Rumble number one in Ayrton Hall, right? And going the full hog to being in front of thousands of folk and millions of folk worldwide in the Rumble. But twice I've had to do that. Start a Rumble's number one and go all the way to 30. I done it in Ayr and I done it, I can't remember somewhere else. But I remember going, oh, fuck, going, are you joking? And by the end, you'll know nervous at all. You just want to get it done and get out of there because you've been in it for that long and you've been punched and you've been kicked and you've been trying to stay low as much as possible and not get involved in somebody else's spots. I don't know.
I'm just meaning that, look, both the eliminations, the false elimination and then his actual ultimate elimination, he was telegraphing, he was going over. I just kind of felt like, I don't know if it's maybe because he's a big dude.
Was it him and Cody then?
Aye.
Was one of the ones in it, right? He's got to deal with like potentially 30 other spots plus, and then he's coming in with a guy that's been out for 8 months or whatever it is, and he's got all that shit in his seed, and he's coming out there fresh and easy. You're probably right. He's probably like, what the fuck are we in here again, man?
I'm not even meaning about him getting confused or anything. It really looked like he was like, right, I'm getting ready to push myself over here. Before, compare it to Drew and Lesnar. You know what I mean? If you compare it to something like Drew and Lesnar, where Lesnar just, you know, Drew's going to come at me and I'm just going to fucking somersault myself out of this ring.
I thought Lesnar's elimination was gallows.
Aye, Lesnar's brilliant in a Rumble, man. Lesnar's a standout in a Rumble. Anyway, Stuart says, put over Gunther having a star-making performance at the Men's Royal Rumble. He was great. Despite what I said there, he was great. Paul wants to bury everything today with Bray Wyatt. It's boring, no entertaining in the slightest, and his voice and his promos now greats. I want everybody to fucking come to me and apologise to me now. Fraser wants to bury the blackout match. The kindest thing I can say about it was that it was easier on the eyes compared to the red light fiend matches, and wants to put over the rest of the Rumble in general. I've had no problems with the predictable winners being correct, and the post-title match angle will just raise Sami Zayn's stock higher. John?
I didn't mind the pitch black match. I thought visually on screen it looked pretty cool.
Was that all Mountain Dew stuff on it?
Yeah, apart from the wrestling, I thought it looked pretty cool on screen with like Wyatt's face paint and the way they kind of lit it and all that sort of stuff under the kind of blue light. I thought it looked all right. I think for people, there was a lot of boos in the arena because I think if you were in the arena, and maybe Shamer can let us know about this, but I think in the arena it wouldn't have looked very good. because I don't think people would have been able to see it, but on telly I didn't think it was that bad. The match itself, I mean, and Rab, I can't wait for you to see the spot. Gregory, did you see it?
I watched about the first 5-10 minutes, mate.
Didn't see the Uncle Howdy spot?
No.
Fucking in the words of Rab, fucking rotten. It is the worst spot I have ever fucking seen in professional wrestling.
Anyway, really?
Honest to God, the spot they did, it was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And in fact, I won't spoil it for you, Rab, if you've not seen it.
Was it a botch or just a bad idea? Was it a bad idea?
Terrible idea, terrible botch, just fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. Please see if you can get to next week's show without seeing it. I want your immediate reaction to it because it's fucking terrible.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right, Lewis would like to put up his performance at the Royal Rumble. So this is Lewis talking. First, I decided to have 3 pints of Venom before the event to keep myself going. Played a few drinking games and then had a takeaway before me and the boys watched. Got wound up with Sammy Didney Wins, ended up drinking more Venom. All was going well until I fell asleep after the Rumbles, although I had no recollection of the night. Turns out I wandered upstairs at one point, decided to be sick or in my pal's room. Then apparently I pissed on my pal's head as he was asleep by the toilet. Once I heard this news, I went round to collect my keys that I left and I blamed the dog. All went well until my pal's parents showed me the Ring doorbell footage of me being violently sick for the second time, the same green colour with chunks of chips, cheese and Donner in it. Followed by the video of me pissing on my pal. All I could muster was sorry. They handed me my keys and said nothing. He wants to bury getting a ticket for a live show. Nobody wants to go with me, so some prick better have a pint with me. Is this guy coming to the fucking live show? That guy's coming to the live show.
Get the Venoms ready.
Something needs to be Liam's plus one. Come on, man. He's a son.
Lewis.
Let's try and find Lewis a date for the Wrestling Daft live show. Craig wants to put our Cody winning the Rumble, the Logan Paul spot, and the pop from Sami Zayn turning on Roman, and wants to bury Bray Wyatt and having any day with him. Had pals who don't watch wrestling, and it's embarrassing having to try and explain what's going on with his shite. Sad for LA Knight. Bezel Bryce wants to bury whatever that fucking Mountain Dew fight in a nightclub bollocks was, and put our Kota Ibushi being free and looking like he's going to tear through America now he's free for NJPW. Hopefully get some Golden Lovers action on AEW. Craig wants to put over the Hulkster and his recovery from surgery. Well said, brother. Hail, hail. And Brian wants to put over... Brian wants to put over the Men's Rumble. Great to see an AEW star, Codelander, winning. The looks of a future Gunther Sheamus, Drew, Intercontinental Triple Threat, WrestleMania banger, sure would. Logan and Ricochet trying to recreate the Big Bang and splitting an atom in that clash. It was brilliant. Barry Kofi, second year, failing to stay in. Hope he continues a streak of missing it. Here. So what happened there? Was that a botch?
I never saw that.
Aye, I was botched. I think that was botched. Though I thought, because it was meant to land on a chair or something, I think, and he fucked it, I think.
And the chair fell earlier than it, and he was just, that was it.
And he banged his head off the announce desk, by the looks of it.
So Brian wants to bury John's deposit on the venue, lose it when the lads no show, or when the Jers fans destroy the place in defeat. Oh, God. Scott wants to put our Gunther just over a year since Keith Lee put out his tweet about him saying, poor Walter, the two are worlds apart now. Gunther for a big Mania match, hopefully. He's been great. And Sean wants to bury Bray Wyatt. Same as before. Months of spooky speeches and hype, and then a shite match. Bury Bliss versus Bel Air. Bliss going back to the spooky shite. Put our Gunther in the Rumble, and the ending of the pay-per-view was absolutely perfect. And Mark wants to put over Grado for giving him his cup final ticket. What's that about?
Nah, I mean, I did have a cup final ticket, but I don't have it anymore.
Right, let's talk about... shall we talk about the Rumble a wee bit?
Aye, why not?
Let's quickly talk about the Rumble a wee bit, because I'd seen some people say they were kind of under... Well, what I saw was somebody online, I can't remember who, saying that they were underwhelmed, or people had been underwhelmed by the Men's Rumble or whatever. I really enjoyed that Men's Rumble.
I enjoyed it. I mean, do you know what pissed me off? I fucking text Shah, right? I goes, he watched it live, so I text him in the I always text him, I always want to find out if there's surprises, because I'll be excited. Aye. I went, was there any surprises? And he wrote back, no, mate, just Booker T, and who else was in it?
Booker T, and who else was the surprise?
Just Logan Paul, Booker T, and Cody. I went, or whoever the third person was, I can't remember who it was. I went, well, why did you, just say that.
Well, I just say it's either was a couple, aye.
Wait a minute, he went, nah, there was no surprises, mate, just Booker T, Logan Paul, and somebody else. And I went, well, why did you tell me that? Why would you tell me that? He's done that hundreds of times.
It was nice seeing Booker.
So it was, wasn't it?
Wasn't it coming out with his big gangly legs, isn't it? You know what I mean? Just about managing to stay
up. Bit of belly now and all that.
Yeah, he still looked good, man. He still looked good. Still did a great spin of Rooney in there. Logan Paul's just his gore, isn't he?
I loved that spot, the two of them. I thought it was class.
But also just, he just gets it. He's the kind of personality he gets it. Even in the ring, the kind of, just the way he was conducting himself in the ring. Because I imagine in a Royal Rumble type situation, you'll be able to tell me about this, Grado. I imagine what's scary for somebody who's green in a Royal Rumble match is that it's not so much your spots, right, or what you're out there today. It's more like, I think people that are green and new to it don't know what to do in between the bits. Mm. It's like, what the fuck do I do in between these bits that are my spots? How do I get out the way, you know? But I thought Logan Paul looked really at home in there.
I think he's fine. I actually think he's in that ring and he has no fear at all. I don't think, I'll be nervous, but I generally think he's so full of his own shit, he's confident. But you find that these folk usually are. See these folk that are good at stuff?
Aye.
Okay, I mean, it's like, see the, my pals that play FIFA, right? They're good at snooker. They're good at pool. Okay, what I mean? They're good at going with women and all that. Okay, what I mean? No, but you know what I mean? Like, they just know what they're doing.
Good at going with women.
Do you think though about it looks like it's getting set up for Logan Paul versus Seth at Mania? Are you all for that?
That will be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Who? We know that'll be amazing because it's,
Logan
thing, Seth can wrestle anybody and it'll be amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and but they two guys will they'll tear it down without a doubt. They two. They'll try and steal the show. They'll try and steal the show. I mean, now Cody Rhodes, I was thinking about this the day, earlier the day.
So
and I'm gonna go
you wanna talk about, huh?
I'm gonna go right out there, right? And I'm gonna say I'm struggling. It's been a long, long time since I've been as excited by a wrestler as I am by Cody Rhodes. And I can't even explain fully why that is. There is something about Cody Rhodes. I just believe in it completely. It's like when he came in at the Rumble and then he was there and then he came in and he just looked great. The minute he came in, he looked great in the ring. But then Big Gunther started opening up on his chest and all that, and then you're thinking about, and then he had that moment with Seth and all that, Seth asking him how his pec was feeling and all that. And it's just, I just believe it, man. There's just something about, and I don't know if it's, I feel completely worked by him as well, you know what I mean? Like, because I know, I've not watched Raw yet, but I know that probably Cody will have done a promo at Raw, and I know that he'll probably be greeting or something during his promo, and I know he'll be talking about his da. And I know it'll be taught, and I fucking totally believe in it all. And I think this WrestleMania, right? I'm going to put this out there the new, and I stand ready to be disappointed. But I think this could be the best WrestleMania there's been for years and years and years, because we've never seen a heel, right, built as well as this fucking forever. This unstoppable heel who hasn't been beaten, who thinks he can't be beat. Going up against a babyface that the crowd are all fucking behind, that the audience in the fucking living rooms are behind, a guy who has all that history behind him, a guy who has all that connection to the fucking legacy of professional wrestling. That main event might be off the fucking charts, man.
Well,
yeah.
Well, he unfollowed me so he can bite my bonnet. I don't care about him.
Cody just, he says all the right things, he does all the right things, he's a total self-made superstar. He's a self-made superstar. He was bombed out the WWE. He went in, and I don't care what anybody else says, he fucking created AEW, Cody Rhodes. He created that's all there. That was him. It wasn't fucking, as much as you can say about Kenny and the Young Bucks and the reputation that they had on the indies and all that, right? It was fucking Cody that did that. He was the face of all that. And then the reason why I think Cody fell out of favour at AEW was because Cody built a promotion and then looked too big for it. He looked too much. He looked too much a star for it. He looked like too much. And I don't. That's not to lessen what they're doing over there. What they're doing over there is at AEW is different from what's happening in the mainstream WWE, where it's all about the big, larger than life, superheroic characters. And he was mere in that mold, and he just didn't fit. Suddenly, the thing that he created, he didn't seem to fit. And now he's back
there.
That's
not completely true.
Why is it not true?
Well, for a start, you're going on. I mean, he did have some shanners in AEW. We can't hide the fact some of the promos that he done were very questionable. Some of the programs that he booked himself in to try and give other folk the rub, the likes of the boy that I wrestled down in Liverpool, lovely guy, would you cry him a go-go, and all that. But a lot of that stuff was garbage, mate. Come on. But I get where you're coming from in terms of he has a start and he's built himself up and he feels like a proper wrestling legend because he's back running his history and you want to believe in him a day, but you can't just say that, you know, it was all him with AEW. And I know what you mean with AEW stuff, but the Bucks and all that, they were the first guys to start selling all these T-shirts and pro wrestling tees. And
I know.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying that he didn't help their case, because no doubt he was probably a guy with putting on the polo neck jumper on and getting in with his brogues on and probably was a bit of the brains in explaining their point about how to try to get a promotion when it came to a bunch of, he was probably the spokesperson. I don't disagree with you there, but there was mail in him.
I agree, but here's the thing. Here's the fundamental point I'm trying to make here. See when you totally when a wrestler completely fucking works you and you completely believe in them, suddenly you can't see any wrong in them. I'm sitting here right now and I'm struggling to remember any crap matches that Cody Rhodes might have had in AEW. As far as where I am with Cody Rhodes and in my head is this guy is brilliant. He's always been brilliant. I totally believe the story. Do you know what I mean? Right. And I've seen him as fucking Stardust, And I've seen him have bad matches in WWE, and I've seen him have bad matches in AEW. But I'm so fucking fully invested in the character that he is now and how he's built himself up into this place that I'm just like, not only is he the guy, he was always the guy. He was the guy right for the start. Do you know what I mean? I'm like totally invested in it. How do you feel about him, John?
I mean, I'm like, an AEW can...
He still reeks car salesman to me, but a wee bit.
I'd see the suit gimmick and all that sort of stuff and just wearing the suit and all that. I don't like that because it's too heel for me. When someone wears a suit, they say extreme heel to me. But see all the Homelander, the kind of all-American kind of thing. I think it'd be a great moment, and especially just talk about him bringing back the Winged Eagle. That he was chatting about that. And I think it'll be an amazing...
Even that though, he, you know, yeah. Him putting that tweet out, he's, the mind that he has for the business is unbelievable. Because to put that tweet out as one of the first things you do after winning the Rumble, to put out a picture of the fucking Winged Eagle, which he knows this is what fans want to see. You know what I mean? He knows that we want that, and it's like that's the nostalgic pull and the feel. And that's exactly what his dad had. His dad had that gift for understanding what an audience feels like, feels inside them. Know the fucking heed part of it where you're kind of going, you know, well, the booking will do this and maybe this will happen and the politics of this and all that. It's like, it's all about... I think if you go to the Rhodes family and the way they exist within professional wrestling, the way the Rhodes family perceive professional wrestling it's all about feelings for the Rhodes, I think. I think it's all about feelings. It's not about the heat. I think it's all about the heart, you know what I mean? And putting that Winged Eagle picture up was just another part of that. It's like, I know this is what we all want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, dare we? I mean, I'd love that, but in the grand scheme of things, it's like we all wanted the American Badass to make an appearance, and it was like that fell flat in its arse. Don't get me wrong, it was the way it was done, but sometimes you go, it's quite, like, is there a portion of that crowd that probably doesn't even know what the Winged Eagle belt is these days? Or am I talking shite?
I think people know, man. I think people know. But I just think, Cody, there's just, it's that thing, I can't even explain it. I can't even wax on about this for ages because... I kind of feel like, however I'm feeling about Cody Rhodes now when I watch him, it's one of the impossible to explain kind of things. It's the kind of magic of, even though when I was a wee guy, I wasn't a Hulk Hogan fan. I liked other wrestlers more than Hulk Hogan. It was still like exciting when you saw Hulk Hogan and you still believed it and you still believed that he was the guy. They have finally, for the first time in so fucking long, WWE have a baby face there. That feels like they're actually the guy. Nay fucking, you know what I mean? Nay bullshit, nay, you know, nay, he's the guy, but he's the guy, but there's nay buts. This guy is the fucking, and now all people want is for him to go into WrestleMania, go into the main event against this heel and fucking beat him for the belt. That's it.
Yeah.
The beautiful, simple story of wrestling. And it's ready to play out.
I thought it was very smart them keeping Sammy out the Rumble because that would have completely overshadowed it. And, you know, we've not even talked about the Bloodline bit at the end, which was absolutely phenomenal. But it was a very smart move to keep Sammy out the Rumble and keep that away from Cody and distance them out. I thought it was a really smart move from WWE. And I'll be interested to see what they now do with the, you know, Sammy and Kevin.
I mean, my feeling is I know a lot of people are hoping... I see a lot of people talking about Sammy fighting Roman at Elimination Chamber, right? That may be happening. And, you know, I think Roman has got to destroy Sami Zayn. I really do.
Aye. And like when Lesnar came back, or was it Goldberg that beat, who did he beat in like 2 seconds? Was it Kevin Owens? Remember
aye,
that?
Aye.
Just steamroll somebody.
I think Roman Reigns has got to destroy. I know the story we all really want is Sami. Fucking take it'd be brilliant if Sammy took Roman Reigns out, but I think the way this is going to play now is Roman Reigns is going to fucking destroy Sami Zayn, and I think, you know, you can play a lot of stuff off of that with the Usos and how they respond and all of that, right? But ultimately, you want Roman Reigns going into WrestleMania hated, despised,
aye,
completely fucking despised. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'll tell you something, Cody Rhodes will win at WrestleMania, right? We know that. We want that. But Cody Rhodes 100% will make you believe he's getting beat in that match.
Aye, definitely.
That's how fucking good he is. We'll believe he's going to get beat in that match, you know what I mean, by the time we're watching it. So,
maybe the Rock saying he's not ready.
Well, I've seen loads of people going, but he looks amazing. What is he talking about? He's not ready. He looks fucking amazing. But it's different, isn't it? It's like, you see, when you're a big, muscly looking guy like that, you're out of breath in about 2 seconds, aren't you? It's different. He's probably no, I'm saying, me sitting here going, the Rock's no doing enough cardio. It's no that. I just kind of feel like it's a shame. Could we still see Stone Cold at WrestleMania, do you think?
Like, I don't know. It's, you can't do these things too often, Rab. It's like, we were talking about that Raw 30th anniversary last week, and that shit's all just seen. That's all had its day. And we see all that DX coming out, and oh, we're old, and we're all shite bags now because we're old, and we're always joking about Roy Simmons coming out and getting it damn and all that. Sometimes if you see too much of that, you just get pissed off it, don't you?
I'm laughing at you saying Roy Simmons.
Ron Simmons.
That guy for Coronation Street, it sounds like. Roy Simmons.
But do you know what I mean? But
aye.
It's like you get that rammed. How many times are we going to see these folk come back? There's only so many times you can do it.
But I think, like, Austin did so well last time, and he's obviously kept his cell in shape. He's working out like fuck. You're not going to get many more chances, you know.
Yeah. Who's he going to wrestle?
Apparently, he was offered Lesnar, and he was offered Lesnar. Who else was it? And he turned them both down. I can't remember. He was offered both of them, and he said no to both of them.
I can get you, Brock.
I tell you, all I want to see is at WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt coming down and cutting a promo, and Stone Cold coming out in the middle of it and fucking rattling him. That would do it for me. You know what I mean? I would love that. I would love that. Or the lights out, Bray Wyatt standing in the ring, you know, and then maybe Stone Cold drives down a big monster truck with big fucking floodlights in the front of it. They fucking light the ring up
and just stunner him.
Aye. Stunner him and shouts. He calls him Husky Harris, not
fuck up, Husky Harris.
Aye. How great would that be? Husky Harris, you dumb son of a bitch. Woo! So before we head out to this show, it's been a long show, a lot of chat, a lot of, you know, blathering about stuff, but the key priority you need to take away is the live show is coming at last. It's all happening at Box on Sunday, the 26th of February, the afternoon before ICW Square Go at night. I'll probably just, after that, we'll go straight to the Square Go. That's my plan.
I'm not booked.
You're not booked, no?
No.
You're not being booked.
Are you going to go, though, Grado?
I don't think so. I doubt it. I probably just got the road, especially if it's been a long form game and that.
I mean, surely...
Why don't you just go together like a couple of big shots, man?
Like, I don't know, we'll see.
Surely someone from ICW is listening to this podcast just now and thinking, Grado and Rab are across the road. Surely there's an angle here.
I haven't spoken to Dallas in months, so...
I just want to say I'm no ready to wrestle. I'm no... just like The Rock, I'm no ready to go. So Wrestling Daft Live, we'll turn it off halfway through. You can have a break, an intermission to watch your football, and then we'll come back on to wrap it up. And then it says here, afterwards, a wrestling disco. This is what John keeps putting in. I've got no idea what that is, a wrestling disco. John, tell us one more time what a wrestling disco is.
Right, the Wrestling Daft Disco is basically me playing wrestling themes. And you can,
it's time for the disco!
You guys can jump on as well and play your favourite wrestling themes. Grado, you'll fucking love that.
Grado would love that, by the way. Grado's heading on.
Fucking love
that. But what we're going to end up is some obscure TNA fucking entrance theme that some guy had for 1 month in TNA.
Yep, we're going to put on Kid Cash's 2008 TNA theme. We're going to have Christian Cage's 6 TNA theme. We're going to have Sports Entertainment Extreme, the faction that was in 2002. We're going to use the second version of that. So you better believe it. If I get a show at the Dex, that's what's going on.
But remember, you buy tickets for the show, it doesn't mean you can't leave before that. You're allowed to leave before the wrestling disco happens. I don't want nobody... And we'll probably take requests as well, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
At the wrestling disco, nobody is allowed though to play the fucking X Factor song by Uncle Cracker. I just want to put that out. You'll be fucking flung out of a box.
I gotta get the gang and a woman, and I'll never get that back. Well, no. I know you hate that fact because you ain't gonna be like that. You ain't gonna be like that yet. I know you watch it.
Terrible. Right, so tickets are on sale now and the link's below. Get them, there's not many tickets left. I think they're about 3/4 sold out. I mean, a 4/5 sold out.
So
get them bought. Even bring a lang. Listen, it's Rab and Grado. It's two, as the Prince's Trust would say, bona fide celebrities. You want to get down and enjoy it. because it might be our last chance to see me and Gredo, because we're not in the best of health. So... Right, boys, that's it. I'm away. Right.
Up the road, that's yourself.
That's listen, up the road, and that's yourself.